You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right. Today is apparently National Pick. Is there any day that does not have a stupid day attached to it?
No.
I loved World Kindness Day yesterday. I'm on board with World Kindness Day, but I draw the line at National Pickle Day.
What?
How dare you speak ill of National Pickle Day?
You don't like pickles?
I do.
You mean how dare she speak dill of National
Pickle? Get out.
I'm out.
Get out.
I'll see myself through the door.
Get out.
CBS Sunday Morning has picked up this story. A strange phenomenon has puzzled Missouri locals. Jars of pickles are mysteriously appearing on a highway median in, is it Des Perez or Des Perez, Missouri? Never heard of it. Barb Steen has embraced the oddity and created an online community that is tracking the pickle sightings. And it's spelled like Des Moines, Sam.
Yeah, in Missouri, it's probably Des Perez.
I agree.
We also have a Versailles and a Nevada.
I'm aware.
Well, in Kansas, we're not any better. We have the Arkansas River.
Well, that's true.
Happy National Pickle Day.
That's right. Happy National Pickle Day. I drink pickle juice every morning and eat pickles with my lunch every day.
That is so gross. That is the worst food in the history of food.
Actually, pickle juice isn't that bad. You would think it would be gross.
No, Dan, it's that bad. God,
I have a friend who drinks it with whiskey, and I think she needs to be committed.
Today is also National American Teddy Bear Day, World Diabetes Day, National Family PJ Day, and National Seatbelt Day.
Oh, Scott, you dressed for National PJ Day. Look at you.
I was going to say he dressed for National Seatbelt Day.
He didn't dress for that a while ago.
You just keep teeing it up.
You go through the windshield of one car.
Twice.
No, I went through it and then I fell back into it.
It was a twofer.
By the way, apparently, according to the text line, it's day pair. Sure it is.
Day pair. Fine.
The three of you are going to burn in hell.
There are pickles on the median in day pair.
You've done really well ever since that incident. So,
what do you
congratulations.
You wear your seatbelt every day.
Good job.
What'd you say?
You haven't done it again.
No, I have not gone through the windshield of a car again. You're right.
Yeah, so
once was enough, Dan.
Yeah.
Now, there was a bird that tried to come through the windshield of your car.
That's right.
And he lost.
That was an owl or a goose. It was one of the two.
What is it with owls? I've had an owl fly at my truck thrice in the last few months.
Feathers were flying. Dogs were hugging cats.
It was a weird time.
It was chaos everywhere.
All right, speaking of pickles and owls, from the Kansas City Star.
As what? One does.
I mean, just follow me here because you can't
make
it
up. It's a wicked transition.
There are 50 meaningful word names that come straight from the dictionary that you can now name your child.
Who?
Believe it or not, word names are a growing trend in the United States as parents double down on their search for a name that they won't see in most classrooms or daycare centers across the country. And trust me when I say I've read this list, you will not have anyone else with some of these names. Okay? They're not necessarily talking about nouns like table or chair, although one could go that route. They mentioned Nick Cannon, who has sons named Golden, Zillion, Legendary, and Zen. He also has daughters named Powerful, Rise, Beautiful, and Halo.
Rise is kind of cool.
If word names are the type of baby name you're looking for, here are 50. And I'm just going to read a couple because some of them are so ridiculous. Unique, Powerful.
Now, they have Grace listed in here. That's a beautiful name.
Love Grace. Love Hope. I see that on here. Now, as you go a little bit further down, we're getting a little Precious.
Oh, that's
what I think.
I hate that word.
That's what my grandpa named his dog.
Followed by Saga or Saga.
We're going to go with Saga.
Saga.
Later year. Never mind.
Felicity. Well, Felicity Huffman. I don't see that as being strange.
Okay, Chosen. You weren't actually, if you're adopted, you were chosen. If you came out of a woman, you're not. I mean, you get what you get. I'm sorry. Noble.
Halo. Story.
Story is the one that stopped me in my tracks.
You name your kid Noble and you're setting the bar high.
That's what I thought. What if you name them something like, you know, Justice, and they end up going to prison for the rest of their life?
Well,
it's like a kid named Stone who doesn't become a linebacker.
Valor. All right. You name your child Valor.
They better join the military and fight.
Or know how to change a tire. I mean,
wait, what?
What does changing a tire have to do with valor?
Because when I hear valor, I think
it's a valorous thing.
It's commitment and helpful and all of the things. I think military.
I think brave.
What brave? What if you end up having a valor who throughout life, you know,
fails to live up to the name?
Agoraphobic. Hey. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, that's putting a lot on a child.
Here's a name only Sam Stevie could live up to. Legend.
That's right.
Prosper.
Also fitting.
Here's one. True.
Peace. What if they fight?
Here's one. Listen.
Fight.
The word is listen. The name is listen.
Secret. What if they're a gossip?
Listen here. Listen.
Charity. What if they're stingy?
Yeah.
Here's one. Forever. No, it's not. We all die.
Oh, here's one. Collywobbles.
Yes, text line. I thought about that one too, but we're not going to read that one.
One of the ones near the top is Echo.
Echo!
Victory? What if they lose everything?
I don't
Champion.
Know. I don't love the word
glory
names.
Glory.
Amnesty?
Amnesty.
They're just opening up the dictionary and choosing.
These are real names
word
that people are
names,
giving.
Names, Dan. One of them is Wish.
Like Bumfuzzle.
Destiny.
Or Snollygoster.
I went to high school with a Destiny.
Echo is number one. Number two, Quest. Actually, don't hate that one.
Mary, as in Christmas. Mary.
Yes, I saw that one.
For all of those days that you're in a really crappy mood. Like, I just feel like we're putting too much.
Behind the word Mary. That's been used before.
Here's one, Dan. Sincere, but you might pronounce it sincere.
Must be Italian.
Sincere.
Oh, yeah. There
Sincere.
I have heard of kids being named Sir.
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 S-I-R. Sir.
Followed by Secret. Strong enough for a man.
Made
but
for
made for a woman.
Only the older kids will get that one.
All right. There you have it. There's some of your top 50, quote, word names.
My heart has broken today. My little soccer heart has broken. Sporting KC is letting Johnny Russell go.
Johnny Russell. Oh, Johnny Russell.
You remember when Johnny Russell came into the studio?
I thought it was Brad Pitt. I did a double take.
You damn near lost your mind.
Who is that? I had no
idea. And then he started to speak and you melted.
Yeah, he talks like.
Like he's from Scotland?
Right.
Because he is.
Right.
They let Johnny Russell go today.
Speaking of sexiest man alive, he was not difficult to look at.
And their goalkeeper, Tim Melia.
I didn't know they let Timmy go.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew Fontas.
Fontas.
Well.
I'm fine with that one. I'm fine with that one.
Ahead of the big fight that everyone keeps talking about with, what's his name?
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
Have you seen Mike Tyson flaunting his ripped bod at the weigh-in?
I'm jealous.
For this fight? How old is he?
He's 58.
Have you seen?
Damn. He does not have an ounce of anything but muscle on that body.
He's been working out.
Have you seen that he is being subject to two tests that they are expecting him not to pass?
Like for
steroids?
Roids? Okay.
There's a good chance.
Where did
the
you
fight
see
doesn't
that?
Happen.
Where
it
did
was in the stack yesterday.
I didn't see that. I would have read it.
You
give it a Google.
Look for it, Scott, because Mike Tyson is from TMZ, proven age ain't nothing but a number, because the boxing legend popped the hood at weigh-ins on Thursday morning, and Iron Mike's living up to his moniker. He is, quote, ripped and raring to go. 58-year-old Tyson, 28-year-old Paul both stepped on the scale about 36 hours before they will try to take each other's heads off in the ring, a fight Mike told us would, quote, be the biggest in the history of life. Well, don't know.
Yes,
go there.
He said if he doesn't win, he will die.
He looks more ripped at 58 than he did at.
No.
Yes, he does.
He
look
was
back.
Incredible.
They have
back
a
in the
side-by-side
80s.
Photo. Well, that was 2020. They have a side-by-side photo.
Well, yeah, but Mike Tyson in 1989 was ripped.
While we're talking about him, you guys know that he is big in the world of something that's illegal in Kansas but legal in Missouri.
Okay.
And he and Evander Holyfield started up a company selling gummies with that product in it. Cannabis is what we're talking about.
Oh, that's right. The ear ones?
And the gummies are shaped like an ear with a bite taken out of it.
Now, wait a minute. The tests that he has to take are an EEG, which is for your brain, and an EKG, which is for your heart.
Oh.
These are not drug tests.
I didn't know if they were drug or not. That's actually why I didn't respond when you asked if they were
drugs. I just looked it up. He has to pass a brain test and a heart test.
What does that mean? You have to pass a brain test
before he's allowed.
We have people naming people secret after the deodorant.
Basically, they want to know if he can take a blow to the side of the head and not have an aneurysm.
Okay, but how do you know that?
Well, you take a test.
All right.
Okay. They better not cancel this fight, man. I've been so excited for this. It was delayed already, right?
It was delayed because he had an ulcer flare-up because he was training too hard.
Yeah.
Well, he's been training. That was right. The rumor that it was never confirmed.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ. Story here from KCTV 5. Your dateline is Kansas City, Missouri. A woman who used stolen identities to rent property in the Kansas City metro could face prison time for a $1.9 million fraud check scheme. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Missouri announcing yesterday that Brianna Adams, 28, of Kansas City, Missouri, is charged in federal court for a scheme to use stolen identities to deposit fraudulent checks. Around $1.9 million was stolen from the U.S. Treasury as a result.
I'm going to stop you right here. You must be thinking right now that this must be one heck of a criminal mastermind. Like this 28-year-old somehow got $1.9 million out of the U.S. Treasury, okay?
All right.
I'm not saying it was okay what she is alleged to have done. But when you read how ridiculous this unfolded, the you will scratch your head, how in the hell did any bank allow this to happen? You are going to question our entire financial system.
Investigators say a Louisiana woman told them that she had been expecting a check for $10,590 from the Internal Revenue Service and had recently been a victim of identity theft.
That is all true.
That check was cashed by Adams, allegedly.
Okay. Court records indicate on June 18th, after that check, she allegedly deposited a fraudulent check for $450,504 into a new investment account. They place a 10-day hold on most of the balance, but not all of it. They let her have part of the funds in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
She then immediately started transferring money out into her personal bank accounts. Okay. It gets better. Around August, she deposits a third check worth $1.4 million into a different account. Over the next 2 days, some ding-a-ling bank allowed her to access that account 8 times. She was able to access that account 8 times. Eventually, the check was flagged as fraudulent and reversed. Have you ever just tried to walk into your bank and pay something where there's a discrepancy of any kind, Scott? Like any kind?
No.
Oh, I've had it happen. Like, and what do you mean? Like, what I'm asking is, I don't know where this woman was banking, but put yourself in her position just for a moment. You have a fake check on a piece of paper that says, made out to yourself, for $1.4 million.
A lot of people carry those
right
around.
Through the drive-thru, zoop thing?
Pneumatic tubing system?
Yes. And then the teller goes, okay, can you sign it? Okay. And then you're allowed to access that 8 times? So, there have been times I will deposit $500 and I can't access that until 24 hours later.
I'm confused. They said she stole identities, but these checks were fraudulent. So were these counterfeit checks? I'm confused.
It's all fraud.
I know, but where does the identity theft come in? Alleged identity theft.
Scott, I don't know. I know that if I walked into a bank with a check made out to me in the amount of $1.4 million, there would be questions being asked. She's 28 years old.
And what is it with Brianna's and committing crimes this week? This
is there
allegedly.
Another one?
This is the second story this week. We had the one earlier about the fraudulent nursing.
There is no way, unless you are already a millionaire.
Yeah, if you were Travis Kelce and you walked in with a $1.4 million check made out to you, Travis Kelce, cash that sucker all day long.
Yes.
Some 28-year-old probably driving a Honda Civic pulls up with a $1.4 million check, and you mean to tell me not only do they let her deposit it into the bank, they let her access it 8 times before someone goes, you know.
This is where criminals get dumb, lazy, and stupid.
I don't know. Is she dumb, lazy, and stupid, Scott, or is the bank system that full of holes?
You want to break some news?
Yeah, I'm going to break some news. I've never had $1.4 million in my life, so maybe I don't know how this works. But from the movies anyway, when you're transferring something like, I don't know, 6 zeros, there isn't a piece of paper with 6 zeros on it and the word million written on the number line.
Well,
they just wire the money.
Publishers Clearinghouse, I believe, does give you an actual gigantic check.
That's not cashable.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know. I've never won the Publishers Clearinghouse, Scott, so I don't know.
Well, the lottery also gives you a very large six-foot-long check. You don't walk that into the bank.
Even the lottery just wires you the money.
I need someone to tell me. Was there a conversation at a very high level with maybe the teller that accepted that check? I'm asking.
Well, somebody on the text line says there's no way this happened at any major bank.
Okay, but it's alleged that she did this like 4 or 5 times. That's the other thing. If you go back and look at all of the amounts, one was $12,000, one was $450,504, one was $1.4 million, and the first one was
$10,000.
$10,000.
Yep. $10,590.
I don't know that I could deposit a check for $10,590 without someone going, and here's why, it's an unusual amount. So here's what the bank will flag you for. This is what I've been told.
Okay.
Every 2 weeks, most of us listening get paid every 2 weeks or once a month. And so there is a record of what is a normal flow of transactions, Sam, for you, for me, for everyone listening. There is an algorithm that tracks the record of all of that. $1,000 here comes in, $1,000 there goes out, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. As long as it's consistent, there are no flags. The minute you walk in, say Dana walks in and I've got a $26,752 check, they're going to look at that because in the history of my banking, I've never walked in with anything like that.
Well, there are occasions I can think of in my personal life where of course, everything in my life is personal, but unneeded word there, where I have had to write a large check. For example, when we bought the house 4 years ago, the people that we bought the house from, and this is a new trend, by the way, in selling homes, they sold us almost all of their furniture.
Yeah, but that's money going out, not money you're trying to cash
to
come in.
We wrote them a check for like $20,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. That we used off the sale of my home in Roland Park, I believe. But anyway, regardless, I don't remember where the money came from. It doesn't matter. We wrote them a big check. They had to go to their bank at some point and say, we'd like to deposit this check or we'd like to cash this check.
And this is where we need our bankers to call in. With a personal check written from Bob to Sally, before they allow you to access those funds, does it not clear? Does it not, like, over a certain amount, don't you have to wait a couple days day?
I would imagine. So, for example, I go to the bank to check my balance every payday around here. And I have accessible funds and available funds. And then the actual amount of what should be in my bank. And that's while the paycheck is pending. Does that make sense?
Yes. You realize that the Whopper check was $1.4 million. But the complaint says it was a $1.9 million loss.
Because of the $450,000.
Yes, but that still does not all add up, which says to me, Scott, this is what this says to me, that those 8 withdrawals they allowed her to take right after she deposited the $1.4 wiped that account clean. She wasn't going in and getting $25.
Why would you?
They allowed her, if you do that math.
Put some zeros on there, please.
You put in 1.4 and the scheme unraveled at 1.9.
Yeah.
She went in 8 times and wiped out that account. They let her do it.
It did say in the story that one of the accounts that she set up, I believe it was the one for the $450,000, it was negative.
By the time you know the first time she swiped, she was like, let's try $25,000. And it goes through, right?
They most certainly flag anything over $10,000. And if you bring in an inconsistent, so if you're a business owner and you deal in massive checks all the time, they might not ask any questions. But if your account only has your standard paycheck in it every 2 weeks and you come in with a $10,000 check, they're going to be like, hey, where'd this come from?
Telephone number is 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Somebody asked, were these standard checks? I don't believe so. The story indicates that at least one of them was a Treasury check, and I think the others were as well.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, you get like a check from the U.S. Treasury when you get Social Security, a tax refund would come in a U.S. Treasury check.
A U.S. Treasury check is a draft that pays a specific amount of money to a person or party drawn on the U.S. Treasury. Don't you think if it was coming from the feds, it would be even a more robust, I don't know, go to Chelsea. She's a branch manager.
Chelsea in Kansas City, hello.
I know you didn't catch this check, Chelsea.
Yeah. No, I did not. And I'm actually in commercial banking now, but I was a branch manager for 12 years. So Treasury checks actually have a completely different set of laws attached to them. So the FDIC has a regulation called Reg CC that determines when you can place holds on checks, how long you can place the hold on for a check. And on a Treasury check, it's actually illegal to place a hold. So those funds will be available next business day. There is a website that banks can go to verify the Treasury checks and make sure that they're legitimate checks. Based on the serial numbers on them. But I missed part of what all is going on because I kind of just jumped in my car. But if you have other questions as far as around processing and how that works, I'm happy to offer some.
Well, here's a question I have. What would you do as a branch manager if somebody walked in with a $1.4 million check?
And opened a brand new account and wanted to put it in there.
Well, first of all, brand new accounts should, at every financial institution I've worked at, which is four, on new accounts, there's a mandatory hold for 7 business days, and that's also part of that Reg CC that I talked about. There's supposed to be a mandatory hold for 7 business days, but you typically know within 2 to 3 days from the other financial institution if that check is going to clear. But at one point, and even if you didn't have a mandatory new deposit hold, you would have a mandatory large deposit hold, which is placed on any checks that are over $5,525, unless you have the funds in your account to cover it. If you have the funds in your account to cover the check, even if it were to bounce, those funds could be available next business day.
Okay, but if you're just spitballing, Chelsea, then how was she allowed to draw on that $1.4 million that she just deposited 8 times before someone figured out the whole thing was fraud?
So she probably was doing mobile deposits, I'm assuming, and I don't know the whole story, but with mobile deposits, that does other things as well. But if she was doing them all in really, really short succession, that's difficult for me to say without more detail.
Right.
Because typically once one bank validates it and one bank cashes it, they put a stamp on the back that basically makes it illegal for any other bank to negotiate. And so I'd have to know more details on exactly how she was doing the deposits. But a lot of people will get away with doing mobile deposits. And if they have like a good history with mobile deposits and never bouncing checks that way, it won't always put a hold. However, mobile deposits are watched a little differently as well. And with that amount, it definitely should have been flagged for an actual person to take a look at it versus it being technology if you're doing a mobile deposit.
Well Chelsea, in one case, she allegedly deposited a check for $450,000, roughly, okay?
And did she do it in purse? Do we know if she did it in
purse? We don't. Well, it says into a recently opened investment account. The bank placed a 10-day hold on most of the balance. However, according to the documents, she was allowed to transfer $12,000 from that account. Is that typical?
If it was a brand new account and that was the opening deposit, I would say no, that is not typical and something was definitely missed. Now, if she had other funds in there to cover it, there's also regulation to like how much funds you release each day. So even if you do a large deposit hold, a certain portion of the funds are released the next day, and then they're released again in 5 days. So there's more variables I would need to say for certain.
Okay.
But if it was large of a check and they released 12,000 of it, I would say that's not unheard of or crazy.
Okay.
Chelsea, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Do we have some breaking Chiefs news, Samuel Stevie?
We do have some breaking Chiefs news. The MVP of the season so far, because we've been having trouble finding the end zone on a regular basis, Harrison Butker is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. He will not play on Sunday. He has a left knee injury. That is according to Tom Pelissero on X.
A left?
That's not even his kicking leg.
He is expected to have surgery to trim his meniscus.
The old meniscus tear.
He is headed to IR.
Was he injured at the completion of the last game?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
They will have a new kicker on Sunday against Buffalo.
Well, I feel his pain. Being one with two torn menisci, I know how painful that can be.
I don't think his are torn.
Okay.
Thank you for the update.
Who's our backup? Do we have a backup?
No, they're going to have to go get somebody. I don't think
there is. What's your nephew doing?
I mean, we had Justin Reed backup kicking last year.
That's right. Huh. All right.
Our backup kicker is Justin Reed.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hey, folks.
He is not a kicker.
No, he's not. Hey, folks. We launched Coats for Kids 2024 earlier this week on Monday, and we're looking to raise about $60,000 through your generosity and kindness. If you can help. If you're willing to help, just go to kmbz.com. We get the money from all of you, and then KMBZ doesn't keep a penny.
We partner with people who buy the coats.
That's right.
Yes.
And we go out and use that money to buy coats for children in Kansas City for whatever reason they don't have a coat. And we work with five different school districts, KCK, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center. So go to KMBZ.com, follow the donate language there on the Coats for Kids link, and that's going to take you to a safe and secure website where you can make your donation and thank you in advance, or you can just text KMBZ Coats, that's one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. And a huge thank you, shout out to Operation Warm, who we work with to get the coats, and of course, our sponsor, Pinnacle Bank. Thank you both. The satirical website, The Onion, has purchased InfoWars today, a capstone on years of litigation and bankruptcy proceedings following InfoWars founder Alex Jones' defamation of families associated with the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre. Those families, the Sandy Hook families, backed The Onion's bid to buy InfoWars' intellectual property, including its website, its customer lists and inventory, certain social media accounts, and the production equipment used to put Jones on the air. The family said the purchase would put an end to Alex Jones' misinformation campaign. Quoting here from Robbie Parker, whose daughter Emily was killed at Sandy Hook. Quote, "We were told this outcome would be nearly impossible, but we are no strangers to impossible fights. The world needs to see that having a platform does not mean you are above accountability. The dissolution of Alex Jones' assets and the death of InfoWars is the justice we have long awaited and fought for." Jones, by the way, owes $1.4 billion to the families of the Sandy Hook victims.
Good. Give another Chiefs update.
Oh, brother. What's
this from Adam Schefter. The Chiefs have signed kicker Spencer Schrader off of the Jets practice squad.
Spencer Schrader?
That is his name. Common spelling.
Okay.
Let me look him up. Football kicker, yeah.
Good.
Oh, he's young. My goodness. 25 years old. He's from Indianapolis. That's where he grew up. All right, telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 on Dana and Parks. So the Chiefs got a new kicker today because Harrison Butker is out for about 3 to 4 weeks, I guess.
He had a excess meniscus growth.
Dana, would you care to guess who the Chiefs' backup punter is? Backup punter.
Backup punter.
No.
This is gold.
We don't need a backup punter right now. The punter is doing just fine.
Areza, he's fully healthy. Yep. Everything's fine.
But if something were, God forbid, to go wrong, guess who would punt for the Chiefs?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
No.
Patrick Mahomes is the backup punter for the Kansas City
Chiefs.
You've
got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. He punted in high school. Punts about twice a week during the season.
Wow.
By the way, in he practice. Had to beg mercilessly to get that role.
He averaged 38 yards a punt in high school.
Of course he did.
Hey, 38 yards a punt is not bad.
It's not great, but it's not bad. Interesting story here from the Daily Mail. A woman has had a true Truman Show experience after realizing a TV show was filmed in her own apartment while she was watching it.
Oh.
New York comedian Steph Dagg was tuning into Couples Therapy, a Paramount Plus reality series, when she noticed a few distinct similarities between the layout of the apartment on her screen and the one that she was sitting in.
Oh, that would freak you out.
She exclaimed, "One of the couples from the show literally lived in my unit." The content creator then pointed out the electrical box in her home. "Do you see that sticker?" she asked, before moving over to the box in the apartment and pointing them out. I mean, come on.
I mean, that is literally a episode of Black Mirror.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Okay.
Serial killer, I know he didn't technically kill anybody. Charles Manson confessed to murders before he became the leader of the notorious Manson family cult, according to chilling new audio from a prison phone call. Quoting here from Manson, who died in 2017, "There's a whole part of my life that nobody knows about. And
I'm okay with that."
By the way, Peacock has an upcoming docuseries called Making Manson. Manson is quoted as saying in this phone call from prison, "I lived in Mexico for a while. I went to Acapulco, stole some cars. I just got involved in stuff over my head, got involved in a couple of killings. I left my .357 Magnum in Mexico City, and I left some dead people on the beach."
Okay.
Manson spent more than 45 years in prison.
We continue providing a platform to horrible people because Americans continue to watch the content.
Yes. The Jeffrey Dahmer series.
Yep.
Was very popular. Why are we so enthralled?
I don't know.
You are. I am.
I mean, I love true crime. We've talked about it before. I think it has a lot to do with the idea that we can't fathom that somebody in their... Obviously, they're not in their right mind. We couldn't fathom that somebody could come to the conclusion that that was an acceptable thing to do.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Or that we're not it. We're not a victim. We're not them.
Yeah.
We're not Charles Manson. We're not Ted Bundy.
You ever feel bad about yourself? I mean, and I hate to say this, but it's true. It's why people watch Hoarders. You somehow think, like, God, I thought I needed to get some stuff straightened out in my life. Mm-hmm. And then you see something like that and you're like, nope, I'm doing just fine.
I watch Cops for that.
Because you're not the one being arrested.
That's right.
High on drugs.
Come and get me.
Come and get me. A baby red panda has died due to stress caused by fireworks.
Oh, no.
After choking on her own vomit just 5 days after her mother died, according to an animal rights group, leading to calls for tighter restrictions on the public sale of fireworks. Veterinary experts at the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland announced on Wednesday that a three-month-old panda named Roxy died, quote, due to stress caused by fireworks being let off across the city center. Roxy had recently lost her mom, Ginger, but was responding well to specialist care and was feeding independently. Very sadly, she choked on her vomit. This is from a statement. Very sadly, she choked on her vomit on bonfire night, and our vets believe this was probably a reaction to fireworks.
Oh, gosh. Where was this?
It was in Scotland. The United Kingdom was celebrating Bonfire Night on November 5th, an annual celebration involving bonfires and fireworks displays to commemorate the failure of a plot planned by a group of dissident Catholics to assassinate the Protestant king at the time, James I, and blow up the House of Parliament in 1605.
That is a very specific holiday.
Boy, isn't it?
Wow.
Very specific.
By the way, Dana, the text line is demanding to know. Have we made it to episode 3 of Dis, Clay,
Myrrh?
I think that conversation should only be had for mature audiences.
So you did see it.
We watched episode 3 last night.
And?
Did you watch it twice?
No, we did not. It is...
raunchy.
It's something.
Is there adult activity in it?
Yes, but it's also heartbreaking. And like, it's one of those episodes that after you watch it, I'm like, let's read a children's story. Like, I need to cleanse the palate from that hour of my life. But in like, it's still an incredibly well-written, well-done thriller that will make you squirm.
Has it turned you off on the series?
Not at all.
So I started a show called Before last night, and I'm just one episode into it. I'm not willing to say it's a run, do not walk.
Also a popular baby name.
Certainly a psychological thriller.
Before.
Before.
Well, what's it on?
Apple TV.
Man,
they've
you guys
got
are all
good stuff right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ. See you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.